This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Subscribe to the podcast Beyond Politics. They host some of the biggest names and smartest minds. Beyond Politics is from a former Democratic congressman who helped ignite Barack Obama's campaign and a former campaign manager and political columnist. They go beyond the usual chatter on politics, news, science, and books. It's politics and everything beyond. On Beyond Politics, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Broadcasting live on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and in the evening on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you with us today. Matt and Patrick here today. It is an exciting day because we, of course, have got the Sexy Liberal Tour is coming to Minneapolis. It's coming to Chicago, too. I should mention that. Coming to Chicago in August. You can get tickets at Sexy Liberal. Just search that. It's with Live Nation. They're here in town this weekend, and it's super exciting because this is their first stop on their tour this year. Cliff Schechter is going to be part of the show, and he's going to be in studio with me. I've already had a Cliff sighting here at the station. He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes to come on the air and talk about various issues. And he's wearing his Yankees. You see that? He's wearing his Yankees jacket, man.
That's what I was chuckling about when he walked in here. I think he did it just to troll all of us.
Well, he does. Well, when you have a batting average of 174 as a team, it's easy to troll.
I don't want to go too deep into tonight's matchup. I'm like looking at the pitcher for the Tigers. I'm going to strike out about 25 times against this guy.
That's good. Well, thanks for the positive, Patrick. Yeah.
You're welcome.
All right. Oh, God. It's going to be a rough season. I think the Twins are headed for a rough season because Brett, the other producer here, said the other day, said all the other teams in the division are doing well. So. All right, we'll have to see. Anyway, we'll probably at some point today, because he's going to join us for the show, and we're going to chat about a whole bunch of other things that are going to be going out. If you are in Minneapolis, if you are in the upper Midwest and you do want to go, there are still some tickets available. Not a lot, but there are still some tickets available to Sexy Liberal. You can just go. There's a link on our webpage, am950radio.com. You can go over there and get yourself some tickets and enjoy and join us. It's a good time. It is an absolute good time, and once again, it's needed so much because the reality is the Republican whole thing is they have to make people feel like they're alone, that they're on the outside looking in. The reality is the vast majority of people do not want a second Trump presidency. So, yeah, I having this kind of reaffirmation with the Sexy Liberal guys coming into town, and you'll have it with the DNC in Chicago. You know, it's nice to have. So I got to start off with something, which is pretty funny. Because, all right, so last week I was in Chicago. I've only said it about a million times. And I talked on this station, as well as also I talked on WCPT in Chicago when I was on Patty's show. This was on Monday. I got back and I joined her show on Monday evening. And we talked about... I went to the Field Museum of Natural History, which, once again, if you I don't say this lightly. The Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago is better than the Natural History Museum in the Smithsonian. It is that good. It really is that good. And we ended up – it got to a point where we were just kind of sprinting through the exhibits because we had tickets to another event. We had to go, and after 3.5 hours, we'd probably only seen about two-thirds of it. I mean, it was just that good. I mean, just unbelievable. And a great time. Really had a good time there. The one downside to the trip was the meal I had at the restaurant they had. And it was kind of one of those things. You know this, especially if you have kids. You know this as well as I do, that you kind of get into a museum environment. You're out there. You just kind of grab the nearest food you can. and it was there. Usually, no one's writing home. I will say this. The Science Museum of Minnesota, for a long time, had a banh mi chicken sandwich, which was one of the best dang things I'd ever had, period, let alone in a museum. It was unbelievable. The banh mi chicken sandwich they used to have at the Science Museum of Minnesota. It was great. Most of the time, you're not doing too well. How many days ago was that popcorn popped? Delicious. That sort of thing. You know. You get it. Well, I talked about it. Now, I'm not going to go back into the details. But once again, I will say this. It wasn't good. It really, really was bad. And so I didn't have any problem unloading on it. And for the record, Patty said, you know, you kind of always have to be a little careful with that sort of thing. When we were at the aquarium in Chicago, I noticed there was like a snack bar every 20 feet, which is a real big red flag. Because, you know, and fine, you're going to get a hot dog, you're going to get a hot dog. Although I'd say if you're in Chicago, there's a hot dog stand outside of the museums. It's going to be probably a much better option. Lord knows more sanitary just roaming the streets of Chicago. Mwah! Delicious. Thank you very much for that, by the way. Anyway, somebody heard our show, and I don't know if it was my show here, during the evenings or in the afternoons in the Twin Cities, or when I was gracious enough to have Patty Vasquez invite me on. She was quite gracious enough to invite me on her show on Monday, which of course not only aired in Chicago, but aired back here in Minneapolis. But on one of the shows, they heard this, and I got this. This is, from Brad. He's a fairly high up guy here at the Field Museum, and he sent me this note. Yesterday, we had a mutual guest reach out to notify us of a conversation on your show regarding your visit to the Field Museum last week. We are very excited to hear you talk about the incredible experience you had during your visit. Unfortunately, when it came to lunch with your daughter, we fell short. Yeah. Our goal is to ensure every aspect of your visit supports an unforgettable experience. Well, technically, never mind. No, I'm sorry. a positive experience. That's what it's going to go with, a positive experience. I can assure you that the feedback you shared regarding your lunch is not at all the experience we want you or any of our guests to have. I personally took your broadcast to the culinary team to review and correct the shortcomings. I apologize if the unacceptable lunch you had there, we are committed to a better outcome for all our guests. If you are back in the Chicago, please feel free to reach out to us. We would love to have you back for another visit. Oh, I'm definitely coming back to your museum. Oh, that's not that. Your museum is exceptional. It really is. It is absolutely spectacular. It is hard to. It really is just amazing. First of all, it's very nice of you that you would do that. I really do appreciate that. It was pretty bad. I'm glad I can help. And I don't want to necessarily vilify anything more than I, you know, need to be by any means, but I guess I should say that I appreciate the letter, and I will be back. And by the way, I want to make sure I say this to everybody. Go to the Field Museum, man. The place is amazing. It's amazing. It really is. And I had a great time when I was down there, and you know, it kind of goes, I was thinking about this a little bit because we have, Cliff and the Sexy Liberal Tours in town, and we're going to have a lot of people coming into MSP that generally don't come here. And one of the things that happens is you get this national narrative pushed by Republicans about, you know, how safe or unsafe a city is. Don't get me wrong. I know there are bad areas of Chicago. I know there are some bad areas of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I always look at it this way. There are parts of this town I will go into up until, say, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Generally, you're not going to have any problem. There are some areas, about 5 or 6 in the afternoon, you know what? I'm not going to go up that way. There are some areas where even if it's early morning, I'm generally a little hesitant to go down there. That's just the nature of a city. And as long as human beings have been cohabitating in larger metro areas, which has been a while, there are always better parts and worse parts of a town, generally because, for the, let's be honest about it, for a metropolitan base, you're failing to address the needs of all the citizens. And let's just be honest about it. That, you know, that the roads in the ritzy suburbs, delicious, they're brand new, wider than they need to be, decorated, ornate. They've got landscaping. They look fantastic. Meanwhile, the road in the inner city area, where a lot more people live, we can put that repair off for another year or so. We don't have to worry about making sure there are grocery stores around in these areas. We don't need to make sure that we have incentives for industry to expand into these areas where they desperately need jobs. That's generally a municipal problem. And it's a problem as well, as if I can be blunt, that fails us as liberals and progressives and Democrats just as much as it fails Republicans. Republicans, it's very straightforward. Betsy Hodges, who was the mayor of Minneapolis for many years, she was the mayor that was the victim of the attempted, story to, destroy her character, Pointergate. She basically made the point, if you go into the most liberal parts of the city and you say, hey, we're going to expand out low-income housing, everyone says, that's fantastic. And then you say, well, we're going to do it on your block. And even the progressive liberals are like, wait a second here, I didn't ask for that. And you need to understand that you can't just fall in love with the idea. There's action that needs to happen with it. So when we talk about Chicago, Chicago got problems? Yeah, it does. Does Minneapolis, St. Paul have problems? Yeah, it does. But you address those because they need to be addressed, not because you're trying to, avoid doing any of that stuff. The Chicago I visited was the stuff of dreams. I mean, it's the Chicago from Ferris Bueller, where you just get so, drawn in and just you have such a good time. It does help. I'm a large man. And so I walk down the street. Generally, I'm not going to be the target of somebody. Not saying it can't happen, but it just is, they generally, it's easy for me to a point. And I walked around that city, including walk around that city after 9 o'clock. Had no problem at all. I'm not saying that there aren't areas that did have problems. There were. But we have to stop believing the Republican narrative about these cities. Because screw them, if I can be blunt. Screw them. Seriously. You're terrified, petulant little freaks who basically hide in your houses in the tertiary and quadriary suburbs, acting like you're a tough guy because you went to the strip mall and they had a Cane's fried chicken. Like, that's the inner city. No, the reality is that these cities are amazing and fantastic and a lot of fun. And so I'm looking forward. Cliff and I are going to go have some dinner tonight. We're going to head on out. I'm going to show Minneapolis, St. Paul and how cool it can be. Chicago, you kick ass too. Absolutely. Let's take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I want to kiss you. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. This is cool because we were just talking during the break here. How long have you and I been talking on the air?
It has been a atrociously long time, if you count it in Trump years.
We're pre-Trump, though. We should mention we are pre-Trump.
It's almost like there wasn't a world before Trump. It's hard to imagine even human existence. So, yeah,
it was so long ago I was doing mornings. That was how long ago it was. Because you and I have talked, you and I, of course, bonded over politics and baseball. And for all you people out there, I want to listen to a political show. We're going to talk a lot of baseball here at some point here. It's just going to happen.
It just happens. There's nothing we can do.
But you and I've wanted to get out to Cincinnati. I tried to get out there one time. It came close with my son who loves baseball, and so we were going to catch a Reds game and come see you. That kind of fell apart.
I had planned to come here a few times. Like, I was hoping to make the Blue State Ball, and I remember there were at least two different times where, like, I was going to do that, and then something happened. And I don't remember, like, what, you know, what came up, and I couldn't make it, and, you know. But
We were doing the thing in February. There's a wait a second. What's the forecast down for that day? Oh, I can't make that weekend.
I really appreciate that about you guys. It's like in Jamaica. They're like, we do it in July. I mean, you could sort of maybe move it to a little bit of a calmer time.
Savannah baseball. Savannah, Georgia baseball. You sure you guys don't want a dome stadium? Because
exactly.
I think you need a dome stadium. You walk in and sit down, you start sweating like a pig.
Right.
Oh, well, this is so cool. We're in studio. You're kind enough to join us for the rest of the show.
Awesome. Like, yeah.
Yeah, this is.
I've only seen it all through the camera, and then here I am.
This is like an Airbnb listing, because, you know, it's like the room looked a lot bigger before. No, we do a lot.
You know, Casey said he thought he saw a bed upstairs, so I don't
know. If you need a nap, Casey. Casey is what brought Cliff to the station. If you need a nap, knock yourself out there. The one to the right is the better sleeper, just FYI. You know, like any great radio person, I've slept in a radio station.
Yeah, you have to earn your stripes, right?
You've been on the road. I mean, you got here from Cincinnati. What time did you get in town?
Flew in earlier, got here. I was at my hotel probably by about 12, 11:30, 12. And then that kind Casey guy who, I mean, it just seems like everybody in my life is in the Minneapolis area. I don't know. He edits videios for my YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's what I want. Let's talk. Who is Casey? For everyone out there knowing, you have the Blue Amp YouTube channel under / C Schechter.
Yep.
It's fantastic. Every time he's on the air, I promote it. I talk about it. You know the channel. You need to get subscribed, because how many
we just had a huge night, because I'm telling you, I think my new rule is going to be do videos about Lindsey Graham. When I mock Lindsey Graham, we've got a video. I mean, I think maybe over 200,000 views by now.
Wow.
And so it knocked subscribers. We were so close. I was like, we're at 39,700. We're now at 40,300. We shot overnight over 40,000.
That's amazing.
Excited about the channel growing. But honestly, I have fun doing it, which hopefully people can see in the videos. And I also take it very seriously, what's going on in our country. But Casey, you know, who, by the way, is a terrific editor for folks who need video editors.
And if you need a video editor in the metro, in the upper Midwest, Casey, just let us know. We'll get you in touch with Casey.
He happens to live here. And, you know, it's just funny that a bunch of people that I work with, or, you know, the radio show that I think I go on most – I mean, it's you and Stephanie are the two that I do most often – you know, and that is here. So there's just so much in Minneapolis was calling my name.
Yeah. Well, Rishi would remind people, for a long time, your little image on your social media pages was some kid drew a picture of you from town here. Remember that?
That's right.
It sent you the picture, and we were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe
that. That was awesome. I still have that. I should just put that back up.
Oh, that was fantastic. Casey, I want to apologize to him. Because you occasionally include video of me, and that's
do you see what the most recent one is doing?
Well, I saw it.
We are bordering, and again, when I say 200,000, for that other one, so people can put that in context, that's my second biggest video ever. So that is not a normal, like, hey, every day, 200,000.
God bless Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. I mean, the only one who would. But that one, I think, is about to break 20,000 views, the one with you and me just chatting on the show here. And the truth is, I mean, this is very honestly the truth. The ones where I'm talking straight to camera tend to do better, just because it's me giving a commentary on something as opposed to a back and a forth. But I go on a friend's YouTube channel, Tony Michaels, who's got a great YouTube channel. I go on your show. I go on with my friend Bob Seska here and there, Stephanie, some others, and I, you know, I'll end up – and that I should tell everybody, that's why I'm here, Stephanie Miller. It's for the Sexy Liberal Tour. I will be there tomorrow night at the theater with this guy and other people. So please buy tickets. But you know, and whenever we go on those shows, you know, I mean, again, I'm just going to talk about how smart Casey is, because he's smarter than I am. It was sort of like, any of those shows you're doing without video, can you get video? Because – You're cutting all these clips, and you've got these great clips that you could have, and so we started doing that. So we do both, but in general, if it's one person, they just tend to do better than the back and forth ones. So this hitting 20,000, like, is a big deal.
Well, and you've had a lot of great content out there, and the reason why your videos do it, because you have such good insight. There's a reason. My show, I've said this many times, my show is better when you're on it, because you are that good at commentating on the world as we see it. And so it doesn't surprise
me. Thank you.
If you're not subscribed to the Blue Am channel on YouTube, go to YouTube right now. Go click, not watch it. You can watch it after the show is over. But then you go and get subscribed, hit the notification, get dings. And is that what
I'm turning my phone off? Is what I'm doing right now.
You're getting dinged right now.
I'm such an absolute amateur. Like, you'd think after the number of TV and radio shows and everything I've been on, I know at this point. Maybe turn your show off. Turn your thing off, but no.
We really do shoot down for the lowest expectations. This show is
all right.
This show is about basically. I have Jeff Stein who comes and joins me on mm-hmm. on Wednesdays, and he's always wearing a suit and tie. I'm like, you poor sucker. You're in Waterloo, Iowa, and they're making you wear a suit and tie.
I can't, yeah.
No, not go.
No. You know, like for my videos, when it cooler out, like I like wearing a nice sweater. I'll do that. You know, I can put on a button down shirt here and there with the collar open. But once you start getting involved with ties and jackets, and I don't want any part of that.
And then these people, you know, they put out that meme where it says, "Whatever happened to men?" And it shows, like, you know, Rock Hudson in 1940s wearing a 3-piece suit, and it shows some guy wearing Zubas. And like, so I'm like, I'm with the Zubas guy because that guy gets it. He's comfortable. The other guy, how exhausting is your morning? That you have to do that every day.
Yeah, I don't know that this is what happened to men. It's an issue of how uncomfortable. I mean, when you look back, like, you know, again, you and I, baseball fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I look back at the old footage of some of those games, 40s, 50s. My dad used to go to, you know, in like a suit. And everybody's there in a suit. It's like 112 degrees, and you know, and like I mean, my gosh, going and sitting in like either Cincinnati where I live now, or New York where I did live, or any of those places, going and sitting on a hot sunny day can be brutal. I will do it because I love baseball, but a suit and tie,
and they would put oil or wax in their hair. Just because, I mean, let's make it more comfortable.
That's an awesome look. Let's do that too.
The Chester A. Arthur.
Let's also not invent sunscreen yet, so we can get the
bowler hats.
We'll get the crap burned out of us. I know that I can say that on this.
Yes, you can.
All right.
Cliff Schecter joining us for the next hour and a half. You're more than welcome as well. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in the evening on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk and on the mothership, and I am your mother. It is AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schecter is in studio with us with the Sexy Liberal Tour. And we should mention, because once again, Minneapolis, St. Paul tomorrow kicking off the tour. They're also going to be in Chicago in August at DNC.
Yep.
Which are we? Will you be out there just covering that? Because I mean, obviously, with your YouTube channel, is that a thought? Would you do that?
I might. Yeah. I mean, I spoke to the crew, Stephanie, Chris, and all those folks out there about maybe trying to make it to the Chicago one too. I mean, that's a 5-hour drive. Like that one, I don't even have to fly. You know, like that's easy.
She's just got through Indiana.
I was gonna say, there's a lot of cornfields you got to go through, though. It's like at some point you're just like. I'm going to tear some of this corn down and build a baseball field for the hell of it.
Well, no, I always liked Indiana because it's like, oh, boy, I guess my soul is going to burn in hell.
You know, right.
Like, how many billboards of that do you see? Or else they put out the warning. I love when the Department of Transportation in a state, you can tell you're in a conservative state, when the Department of Transportation puts out signs, they're like, if you speed in this zone, we will find you. We will hunt you down. You will go to jail.
That's Liam Neeson.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we have a famous do you know our famous billboard? So it's between – somewhere halfway between Cincinnati and Columbus, and it says something like, you know, accept Jesus on one side or something, and like hell is real on the other side. And the reason why this is fun is I give them so much credit for this. So, you know, there's the Columbus Crew, the soccer team, and FC Cincinnati. Yeah. So when they have their derby and they play each other, they call it the hell is real derby. So whenever you can mock, you know, theocratic morons, I think that's a good thing. Whoever it is who's been paying for that thing to be up there for years, you've given a name to a soccer derby that we all laugh about and then get drunk. So good work.
As a Christian, I can say
That's not how it works.
No.
You know, it's like when, like I drive into Indiana out to Chicago and you go down and they said, hell is real. I said, that is a heck of a motto for Indiana. You know, yeah, Indiana, sure. Hell is real.
Yeah, wow, okay.
Right. I've been thanks, to Indianapolis. Guys. Thanks. It's I'll pass. All right. So we'll talk a little current politics.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have two things happen on Monday.
Correct.
Bail is supposed to be posted. Now it's we discovered this insurance, this insurance company from the Cayman Islands.
I mean,
it does not sound like they're going to accept that money because it sounds like there's a licensing issue in New York, which you have to be licensed in New York to be able to post this bond. But as well, there are so many. It clearly is crypto money from some
has
Russian
this guy
dude.
Ever gotten an honest dollar from anywhere? Did anybody think there would be? It's almost like he can't do something honest or he melts. It's like the Wicked Witch of what was it, the West, who gets water thrown under him. Like every minute of his life, he's breathing. He's breaking laws. He's being dishonest and unethical. I don't understand how anybody could even think like there was any possibility of him getting a legit amount of money, a legit loan, or bond from somewhere. And so, of course, I'm not surprised at all. And I'm sure it's Daddy Putin somehow laundering a little money through something. Who knows? Maybe Truth Social. Maybe allegedly. I have no idea. But I do have idea that it's happened many other times.
Well, you want a proof of your deception? The picture he took down at the Chick-fil-A where he's hugging this African American woman that was supposed to be the spontaneous moment. She's actually an activist for the Republicans
that
in Georgia.
Ridiculous Blexit group that has four actual members. And they all show up at all these places to pretend that if you're black, you want to leave go to the Republican Party because apparently you're black, so you like Klan rallies or something. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is that attracts you. Is it the burning cross? Is it the attacks on your service? Is it that they call where people like you are from some kind of whole countries, which I can't say on here?
No.
I mean, what could it be? Is it that they that the Trump family would mark a C on their when people would apply to his dad's housing and whatever for a word I don't know I can say anymore, but let's just say so that you were black and you wouldn't be allowed and he got sued for discrimination. What part of that great personality of his that's so racially equitable has led so many people that are black to want to leave the Democratic Party for the Republican Party? The answer is there aren't any. They have three or four of them that go around and fake it like this woman did.
I always love when he was at when he first ran. It's like, where's that black guy I know? At the rally.
African-American. There he is.
There's the one guy.
It turned out it was Ben Carson. Who knew?
When you look at this bond, I think there's a legit chance because, once again, you said it right. Even the Republican banks, the ones that favor Trump, the ones that favor the GOP, they don't want anything to do with this. Even this half bond, more than half bond, they don't want anything to do with this. So he's, has to go to Cayman Island insurance companies, which can't really produce the evidence that they have the money. I think we're looking at his assets getting seized starting on Monday.
I mean, I would dance a jig.
It'd be
such a beautiful, beautiful moment. Beautiful, the way he always says it.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering, where's he going to get the money from? I just figured he'd stop at a random three-card Monty game going on the street in New York somewhere, see if he could win some money for his – because I don't know who else is giving him money at this point. I just – again, anybody who's giving – and this is a little more of a serious point, always couched in humor, but anybody giving Donald Trump money for anything at this point is doing it because they want something from him because of in the chance that he's president again.
Or they're getting duped into donating to him even though they can't afford to make that donation.
Well, those are the smaller ones. But the bigger ones, if you're, let's say, Saudi Arabia, if you're like, hey, let's rent out the whole floor of his hotel, it's because the expectation is he's going to become president again and then you're going to get policy decisions. And I don't think we will know maybe in 10 or 20 years, historians will turn it up. I think there are so many policy decisions. Remember we started sort of threatening Qatar and then we found out that, of course, that Jared Kushner's property was bottom up and he needed help somewhere. And magically the Qataris bailed him out. By the way, I think the address was 666 Fifth Avenue, which should have given it away. But you know what? And suddenly we were friends, and there are generals who are saying, why are we doing this? I really do wonder how many of our foreign policy and all sorts of other decisions were made solely based on how it would work out financially for them. I mean, the corruption is it's mind-boggling, and it's like you can't parody it because
– they can't prove it. But everyone that's looked at the case down in Florida on the files has said this. There are a lot of empty boxes and there's a lot of empty folders.
Yep.
And that we, you know, how many of our state secrets are in Moscow, are in Saudi Arabia, are in Uzbekistan, in North Korea?
Sure.
I mean, how many of them to the highest bidder? And by the way, if any of them is the devil, it's Jared. For God, I mean, he is exactly the guy. He would be Satan. If you had to look at the lineup there, I mean, you know,
even
Eric,
that look on his face, he kind of looks Satanish, doesn't he? Really?
There's always the people that look like they're the villain, but then there's the one guy's like, I wonder who the bad guy could be.
Well, notice how he never talked to the media as much as they did. He's more quiet in the background doing his evil.
Yes.
You know, like giving. I mean, again, who allegedly shared information with MBS that allowed him to consolidate power by torturing and killing people on the other side. And then we still don't know what, if any, role he might have leaked about Khashoggi.
Without a doubt.
You know, and so, I mean, I think you're entirely right. I don't know what's going to end up happening with the whole thing. I just know that if they seize his assets, it will be a glorious day.
I think that is going to happen. It's going to make for chaos on Monday. And then, of course, Monday, the hush money trial starts.
Correct.
Which it was interesting because I have noticed. Have you noticed this too? That there was a lot of trials.
You see that witness list? It was awesome.
It is. It's what's hilarious is this one was kind of under the radar. We talk about Georgia. We talk about the D.C. case. We talk about the Florida case. We talked about the fraud case in E. Jean Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, about 2 weeks ago, when Trump frantically started filing motions, trying to get this thing delayed, all of a sudden it was like, he's really scared to death of this one.
Well, I wonder what – was this another Alina Haba special, you know, like that time where she forgot to check we'd like to have a jury? You know? Don't they teach you that in law school? I always felt like if you spend a lot of money in law school, that should be one of the things they teach you. But in any case, maybe she just forgot it was happening because, like, her record so far, you know, she was the one who took on Mary Trump and lost. She's the one who took on the New York Times and lost. So I don't know. He's not getting the best people.
He's not. Well, I mean, I have this image of, like, the judge looking down at their table and she's flipping through the law books as they go, oh, here's something good. I'll try this.
But actually, they just canned her in all seriousness.
Yeah, they did.
So
she's
fired.
Gone.
But it still doesn't mean that if they were not paying close enough attention, this wasn't something from the past where, you know, maybe a lawyer was supposed to give them a heads up like, hey, this one's coming up too. I know you're busy with all the others.
To-do list. There's another lawyer, it escapes me. It's a big wig lawyer that was like working with the firm, was going to work with him. He's now quit the team. And it sounds like his partners at his law firm pulled him aside saying, you know, you need to – this is – get the lifeboats are getting lowered into the water at this point. Jump on that boat and get away.
I think that's happened in a couple of cases where I think a couple of these guys – and it's either due to ego because they figure, you know, they don't – you know, in light of what we just saw with O.J. Simpson and knowing that how that changed history in certain ways, that all sorts of lawyers that nobody knew who the hell they were became famous. Some of them we're still stuck with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Dershowitz had a little bit of fame from the you know, the movie that with Jeremy Irons, you know, the Reversal Fortune,
that
whole thing. But still, that got him a lot more. We first heard the name, God help us, Kardashian during that trial because their dad was a lawyer. I mean, and you know, Judge Ito, I still remember his name. He's famous, Marsha Clark.
Dancing Itos. The only thing, I laughed the first time he did it. The other 800 times he did it wasn't. The Dancing Itos was one of the few things Jay Leno ever did on that show, the Tonight Show, that was funny. So,
well, I would say I don't want to go into a longer thing on this. I just did a video on it. In fact, but to me, that was the moment, the creation of reality TV. It's when all media went to hell and they realized they didn't need any more substance, that as long as they had unscripted garbage that was cheaper to put on there, people would watch and they could still sell ad dollars. But in any case, my point is just taking back what you remember from that trial and many others since that have been public, where lawyers have become famous and then found ways to make money the easy way, right? Pundit on TV, this, you know, and whatever. Well, in this case, maybe there have been a couple lawyers like that who are just like, yeah, you know, maybe Donald Trump, but I'll be on TV and I'll be whatever. And I think because there have been a couple guys like this that have quit, and I think their partners have had to take them aside and be like, no, we don't care about your fame. We have pride in what we do. We have pride in being a law firm that actually has an ethical reputation.
Exactly.
And you can go to hell. You want your fame, get lost. And, you know, and so.
No, I think it's – and there is no fame. I mean, tell me a lawyer that's come across any of these things. Well, even go back to all the court cases they tried to overturn the election. Not a single lawyer has come out of that unscathed. Every one of them, it's almost a suicide run. A lot of them barely escaped with their law licenses afterwards. And, you know, you just have to be frivolous and you got to be petty and you got to be small. And then you have Trump, who again violated the gag order, again did that. You know,
I don't even know why they issue them anymore.
Unless you're not going to enforce them. Exactly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a joke. I mean, there is a point where, I mean, we all tell the story of the boy who cried wolf to our kids. I mean, there is a point in time where if you don't do something, if you keep threatening something and don't do it, then there's no point. And it's quite clear to me that none of these people have the damn courage to make this guy spend a night or a week or something in prison like I would or you would
exactly.
Or anybody else would. So you know what? Like, it actually makes me angrier that they issue the gag orders. Just, you know, if I weren't on your station right now, I'd be cursing because I'd be on my YouTube because it pisses me off so much. Stop issuing the damn gag orders. It's a joke. It's embarrassing.
Or if you're going to do it like this, then okay, fine. You're afraid to put him in prison. Then make it $1 million every time he does it.
Right.
And make him write a check that day.
Yeah, that would be fine too. Yeah, not some, oh, down the road, right there. Right now. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be a day or a week or whatever in prison. There must be a penalty that hurts and it must happen immediately.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit. The federal trial with the federal charges on this hush money thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it streamlines the case quite a bit and it streamlines the sentencing guidelines too.
It's kind of nice, isn't it?
It is nice.
I mean, look, you know, I saw obviously Michael Cohen was on there. Mm-hmm. I think he was the one who handled the whole thing. So he should know a couple things. And, you know, numerous other folks. I mean, I just, you know, again, I'm trying to not lose faith in our legal system. You know, they're challenging me on this because this guy, it's so obvious he's so guilty. There's so many ploys they've pulled. They've used our legal system. They've abused it to ridiculous levels and gotten away with it with delays and this and that and the other thing. And you know, it's obvious the man is guilty. So.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I mean, when he starts threatening judges and their families, at what point will the legal system itself just say, okay, no, this is not the system? Because that's going to come back and bite them for
still
years to come.
Waiting for it. Yeah.
Let's take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show.
If I were a human being, I'd head straight for New Orleans.
It's the Matt McNeil Show, once again on your Friday, and Cliff Schechter is in studio with us. Since we have the Chicago folks on here, how often do you get to Chicago?
I get to Chicago once or twice a year, probably.
No, that's nice. I mean,
it's, again, five-hour drive, a lot of corn in between, as we said. Again, I do feel like somebody's whispering to me that I should build a baseball field every time I drive through there. But you know... if you can get some good tunes playing and you know, get that part of it out of your head. Yeah, I mean, Chicago, I mean, and I've flown it too. But, I mean, I'm just saying the drive is not that bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I mean, major, third biggest city with everything you could ever want in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And not that far. So, yeah, absolutely.
6.5 for us. If you want to get down to Chicago, 6.5 for us here. Because Wisconsin just gets long. I mean, it's just the way they do it. They couldn't possibly make it along.
Damn Wisconsin, get in the way.
Well, it's like I drove from Minneapolis to St. Louis, and I said, okay, I'm just going into Wisconsin, Illinois, and then down there. But because they made that damn road the longest they possibly could, I mean, okay.
But they throw cheese on the road to block you, too, don't they?
Okay, Humber Cheese Mart over in Tolma. I mean, that's a solid investment right there.
Fair enough.
Nothing wrong with the aged cheddar that you get there.
I just was trying to make fun of Wisconsin a little bit.
Oh, we can make fun of Wisconsin.
You're not in that market. I can say whatever I want, right?
Well, I know they've had a few drinks already. So, guys, we'll slow it down for you.
You're a very kind and nice state, Wisconsin. I'm just having fun with you. But obviously, the roads are too long. You need to work on that.
All right. So we are going to talk some baseball here. Cubs. because that's the one thing, you know, that it is great about that team is that city. Of course, they got the two teams.
Yeah.
And the Southsiders, the White Sox. Yeah. As a Twins fan, that's to all the White Sox fans. Anyway, I'm going to move on. The Cubs, it was nice to see. I saw Wrigley from Hancock Tower. I saw Wrigley down there. You know, you're a Reds fan. How do you feel about the Cubs and, you know, what you're seeing down there?
I mean, how do you feel about them as a team? You know, we're not huge fans because, again, it's a rival.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think that they're, I mean, the Cubs are an interesting team. I think they're a good team. You know, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's early in the season at this point to know what's going to happen. But I mean, even like the Reds looked really good at first, and then they kind of coughed up a series to the Mets. And well, I'm from New York and a Yankees fan, so I can always make fun of the Mets. But
we'll get to the Royals soon enough.
Well, and then you've got right now the Pirates playing out of their skulls. So,
but they always do. April baseball in Pittsburgh is great deception.
Yeah,
it's a great deception. The World Series fever lasts until about May 1st in Pittsburgh.
Since Clemente. I didn't mean it that way. Obviously, a terrible loss. I just meant ever since he has not played for them anymore. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know exactly what the Cubs' record is right now. I know that. You know, you've got it right.
Well,
these
glowing rectangles.
I watch obviously the coverage of various like your ESPN coverage and whatever. And I thought they had a pretty decent team, and I thought they were looking like they could contend. They
7-5.
Yeah.
8-53. They're a game and a half behind Milwaukee and Pittsburgh.
So that's what I thought they were, which was good, and I mean pretty good, mm-hmm. right? They're a positive record, but they're not they're not jumping off the maps yet. But again, 12 games, like it's way too early to know what's going to happen yet.
I can't, you know, as a Minnesota fan, I mean, since Kirby is gone, you can't, you know, those were the heydays. And don't get me wrong, Joe Mauer was a great player and stuff, but at the same time, we never got really a whiff of it, you know, of a series or the playoffs there. The thing I like about the National League Central, and once again, for all you politics people, Cliff and I we're baseball fans. Here's the one thing I like it. Okay, St. Louis and Chicago hate each other's guts.
Yeah.
You know, they really dislike it. But if you look at the rest of the teams, you know, they're trying to make fetch happen with Milwaukee and the Cubs. And, you know, it's like, Selig tried to push that team in there. It's
I like your reference there. Yeah. Nice Mean Girls reference. We'll see what Milwaukee can do. Losing a Corbin Burns is usually not helpful.
Not
to
exactly.
A team.
That's, yeah.
I mean, he. You know, by most standards, you know, most of the various ratings was up there. I think, you know, I think Garrett Cole was ranked the best pitcher last year. I think so. I'm not saying it to brag. I'm saying objectively, I think that's what it was. But I think Corbin Burns was ranked second. And so, you know, losing the second best pitcher in baseball is not helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, Milwaukee still looks okay, but I don't know. I think they're overrated, and I think they're not going to end up being as good.
And Pittsburgh, it's hard to take seriously because since the last time was We Are Family, right? That miracle year that they came out of nowhere. And Bonds was there, you know, when he was two sizes
early
smaller.
Yeah. When his head was a normal human head size before it became like, was it Modar or whatever? Like the guy with the
big helmet from Spaceballs, yeah.
Yeah. But that was sort of the point I was making before about the Pirates and just saying, well, they're playing really well now, which is sort of – we don't know anything. You know what I mean? And yeah. I would love to know stuff and say, hey, or the Yankees I think right now are what, 10-3?
Yeah.
I mean, so I'd like to say that means everything. But you know what? It doesn't mean everything. It's just way too early in the season. And as we all know, things happen. And I'm going to have to knock on wood as a Yankees fan that nobody gets hurt. But people get hurt and other stuff happens and, you know, we'll see.
My beloved Red Sox, you know, because I lived in Rhode Island. So I love the
they're
Reds.
They're playing well, though.
They're not bad. They're 3 games out, 7-6. You know, I think it is early season. What the thing that I keep hearing from all the people here in town about is they keep saying, well, you don't pay attention to the rankings or the standings.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention to the standings until, you know, until mid to late May. I'm like, Yeah, unless you're – I mean, I don't think the White Sox right now at 2-10 are basically saying, well, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, that's not bad. No, I mean –
you got to – sometimes you have to turn the alarm system on.
If you're anywhere in the middle, if you're either, you know, slightly above – if you're 7-5 or 5-7 or anywhere in that kind of range, I don't think you're freaking out about stuff too much. I do think – I'm not saying don't pay attention. I just meant, you know, don't get – if I'm the Yankees or other, there's a few other teams – the Pirates, you know, who've won 9 or 10 games, I wouldn't get overconfident at this point because it is still early. If you're 2-10, on the other hand, yes.
White Sox.
Ringing the bells, alarms. You know, what was it that Sarah Palin said that, you know, when Paul Revere warned us the British were coming and rang those bells and those whistles and those, you know, I mean, I would be ringing everything that rings that you can in Chicago, because if they don't turn something around, they're going to be out of it before it begins.
Oh, all right. There you go. So a little bit of baseball talk for you. Chicago, we love you. Of course, Chicago, we will talk to you again on Monday. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hour 2 is coming next. Cliff Schechter is joining us live in studio. Stay with us. Hour number 2 of the show here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. Cliff Schechter still in studio.
He can't get rid of me.
Well, why? They should hear the
like
show we're doing. We should do the show we're doing, not on the air. It is that good. Cliff has been kind enough to join us for the entire show in town for Sexy Liberal. And once again, if you are thinking about, you know, it's going to be a gorgeous day tomorrow, perfect day to get into downtown Minneapolis at the Pantages Theater. It starts at 8 o'clock, I believe. I just dawned on me. They want me to go out on the stage first.
Matt's introducing everybody, at least the show.
I'm introducing the show. I'm the first person on the stage for this entire Sexy Liberal tour. That's
so you're
wow.
Listening to this show, you do that, you're probably within a few hours. I don't know how far this reaches, but whatever. How can you not buy tickets to go see that?
It's going to be.
And to go see me do, I have zero idea because no one's told me what the hell I'm doing. I know I'm on a panel.
But you see, the great part about you is I can just throw Trump, boom, 20 minutes done.
That's what they figure with me. They're just like, oh, Cliff, he never shuts the you-know-what up anyhow. Just put him on a panel, and we'll throw in a topic, and he'll make him obnoxious.
They're going to be looking at you like the city of Minneapolis has a 12 o'clock ordinance here. You know, you got to wrap this up
Do they have any ordinances anymore like that, you know, like they did back in the day against profanity and public indecency? Because I don't – who knows?
Blank no.
Who knows the way this show goes? You know what I'm saying? All I know is I will be there on a panel with Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, and I think Frangella, and I think I know Stephanie Miller, and it could be maybe you're on the panel too. I don't know.
No, I know a few things here. First of all, you're gonna have some food backstage. Rodden Asbell, who's done a lot of cookbooks locally, she's gonna be bringing some food by. So
sweet,
eat, enjoy. That's some solid stuff.
I'm in.
I think I'm going to be there. Then I'll be the guy in the guy in the audience. Not only will I be laughing the hardest, and by the way, when Cliff gets out on that freaking stage, if you do not give him a standing ovation, I am going to be so. Yes, you are a loved. The city loves you. We are going to show our love.
I just
for
want you all to know, if you think, you know, unlike these threatened gag orders, it never happened. When I threaten stuff, I do it. And you should know that the last wedding where I was a groomsman for a good friend of mine, I wasn't the groomsman, I was the best man.
Yeah.
I as part of my joke speech afterwards, I had the pants you could pull off, and I de-pantsed myself. So if you don't cheer for me, I'm going to de-pants. And so you'd better. That's all I have to say to you.
You can't wear stripper pants anywhere? Of course, you tell me. Ooh, there you go. So how often, like I said, how often have you been in MSP, Minneapolis St. Paul?
So this is my third time.
Okay.
And, you know, I've wanted to come more. And that's not just a thing because I'm here. I've always thought this is a beautiful town. It gives me that feeling of Northern Europe, which is not shocking because of the people here and accents and whatever. And I spent a decent amount of time in Sweden, which I loved.
Yes.
I had a friend who is Swedish American, and we'd go back and see some family. And I mean, that was some of my first experiences in Europe. You know, I think it's a beautiful city. I say this about Cincinnati, but I think that there's about 4 or 5 Midwestern cities that don't, and sorry, I'm not gonna insult anyone's, but there's certain ones that are very flat and very plain state looking.
Indianapolis. I don't mind. I don't mind saying that. I will. That's send your cards and letters, Indianapolis.
Okay. I was thinking of another one too. Well, I could say it's in Ohio. It starts with a C, so it could be any of those three. Let's see. There are these beautiful old historic cities, Cleveland and Cincinnati, and then there's this other one in the middle that we lived in for about 2 years. That I just. The topography, I felt like I might as well have been in like Omaha or something. And so to me, Minneapolis reminds me, and this is all seriousness, of Cincinnati, Cleveland. I haven't been to St. Louis, but I've heard
Chicago,
although Chicago is so big that it's beyond. I'm talking about the medium-sized ones. I'd throw Pittsburgh in there too, that are these Midwestern cities that have this character to them because they were important sort of ports of trade in the mid-19th century and steamboat times, whatever, and people who had vast amounts of wealth back then built infrastructure and, you know, have beautiful architecture. And, you know, and I don't know all the history of Minneapolis in the same way I do Cincinnati. I know a lot of it, but it reminds me of that. So I've always, you know, so I got here, you know, those yearly conventions, yearly coasts, if you know them. I haven't gone to one of those in a while, but there was one here. I think that was the last time I was here. I think that might have been 2011. I went to one of those. And then the media reform, there's a group that advocates for media reform. They had their conference here. And I'll tell you, it was that conference, I should have brought it with me, where somebody came up to me afterwards. I was on a panel about what we needed to do to reform media. And so maybe it was 2012, 13. That was the last time I was here, so over a decade ago. And gave me this little, I showed you it before, figurine of Larry Craig from the bathroom in Minneapolis, kicking the stall next to him. And I keep that on my desk. So that's good memories of Minneapolis. So I've been here twice before and enjoyed both times.
Two things. One, Columbus. I was talking to my daughter. We went and visited one of the things we recently went down to Chicago because she wanted to visit Michigan. So we went out to the campus like this. I said to her, well, since we are doing these traveling, do you want to go to Ohio State? And this is all she's, ew. I mean, that's all she said. And so that, the end of that. Yesterday, Hal Sparks, when he was on, he made a comment which I thought was incredibly astute. He said, these Midwest blue-collar towns where the arts are not sacrificed, that it's, you know, we respect hard work, you know, the factory mentality, the punch clock mentality, but we also will look and we have these vibrant art communities where we do not look down on the arts, whether it's artists, sculptors, actors, musicians.
So you just nailed it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you nailed it because you're smarter than I am in what took me, you know, about a year of diarrhea of the mouth to say. You just said in about 10 seconds. But I mean, when I'm talking about these cities, when I'm thinking about Pittsburgh, when I'm thinking about Minneapolis, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of, right? I'm thinking about these towns that where, you know, our art museum in Cincinnati is one of the best in the country.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Pops, which we belong to and I take our kids to, is up there with Boston's and considered one of the two best. You know, and then even other important infrastructure, you know, a classic example, our children's hospital is one of the best in the country. So what that leads to is that it's not just everybody's local. You get people that move from other parts of the country. It makes it more interesting. Procter & Gamble is so big. And to rise to the top, you have to do a tour in Cincinnati. So even you have a lot of international folks coming in. And I'm saying I'm sure Minnesota, Minneapolis has stuff like that. But, you know, that architecture, his important role in history and just so many things like that. I mean, I think of here – I'm sorry. I'm a history geek. I think of Hubert Humphrey, you know, it was 1948 at the Democratic Convention giving the first speech in favor of civil rights and saying that this had to be a part of the Democratic platform and Truman added it. This mayor of Minneapolis played a huge role in that and obviously what he went on to – like these – you know, Walter Mondale, the role he played in our politics. These are the things, and obviously Ohio, I mean, you can't go 10 feet without running into a dead president or an astronaut. I mean, so many, you know, astronauts and I mean, you know, meeting John Glenn for me was a moment of, I mean, you know, talk about a living hero. I mean, he died a few years ago, but when I met him, you know, before he passed away, I mean, you have that, you know, where William Henry Harrison is not buried far, you know, that's far from where we live. And you can go and find, you know, like, I actually went and sat in the bathtub that Taft got stuck in. Because he was over 300 pounds. They have it at the oldest bar in Cincinnati. They have it there. So four of us, my wife and I, on opening day, because they have a big celebration.
Four of you got in into the tub?
Yes, they have a big celebration in Cincinnati where we're on the opening day, because it used to be, you know, the first pitch was always thrown in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
They took that away from us, the bastards.
Yeah.
And so it was a hugely, you know, big day. Everybody took off from work. It was a parade. So we went down for – we've done that a couple times. I wasn't able to this year, but we went down and we went to this bar, the oldest bar, Arnold's, that's there, and they had the tub. And, yes, four of us normal-sized people that together – had to at least be over 500 pounds. I would say over 600 pounds is more like it. All fit in there, but somehow Taft got stuck in there. So you figure that out.
How? That's, I mean, he is, and that's like Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know?
Sorry.
It's like
sorry.
The road in Wisconsin. You can just get stuck.
Cheese. Did he drive through Wisconsin before there? Just had a lot of cheese on the way. Oh, how many? Okay, so Taft. Garfield was Ohio, wasn't
it? Garfield was Ohio.
Who else was Ohio?
One of the ones that I don't think ever gets enough blame for being horrible, which is Rutherford P. Hayes.
Yes.
He made the dirty bargain where when they gave him Florida, I'm sure that'll shock everybody, Florida, in the election with Tilden where it was disputed, that part of the reason was he agreed to stop pushing Reconstruction.
And pull the troops out of the South.
Well, I mean, he ended it because without the troops, the KKK came back in full force, black codes, all of that. And our country has suffered for, you know, how long? I mean, an extra 100 years of segregation that maybe wouldn't have happened if Grant had been stayed in control, who actually was a liberal on race and really pushed Reconstruction.
Well,
another Ohioan, Grant, who actually by marriage is part of my wife's family, but by marriage, not blood.
One of the best military leaders we ever had.
I know,
I'd
love it. For, you know.
Sherman was even better, but I mean, Grant and Sherman together were the reason why.
Sherman,
they were
people of Atlanta. I don't know if they get your. I'm not sure if they get this station, but they may not agree with you on Sherman. But you know what? Sometimes when you start wars and do bad things, you just have to get your butt kicked.
Make them howl. Here's the thing.
And we've missed a few. I'll just say even more. Nobody good. Harding. There's another one.
Harding.
I didn't say we're home of good presidents. Grant was a good president, okay, and good leader. There's a few others, but there's also some others.
when Grant got Hayes in, one of the things which was I always love this, and I do love this, he basically told the South, well, here, I mean, after the election, well, if we win, we'll pull the troops out. We'll let you kind of this. I believe it was the state of Mississippi. Chased down their ballot boxes, which were already on the way to Washington, D.C. Chased them down. Yeah, that was – yeah, okay.
I mean, that's sort of the issue with when we say stuff like what's going on right now is unprecedented and all that. It really isn't. It's horrible. And, you know, but I mean, the truth of the matter is that there are periods of instability, especially during the 30s with a rising group. Remember, they filled Madison Square Garden with that famous Nazi rally. Mm-hmm. Lindbergh, if he'd become a candidate who was a Nazi, you can enjoy his flights over the Atlantic, but he was who he was. And there were plots against FDR. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a period. I mean, obviously, the Civil War was the Civil War. We've had, you know, the Palmer raids.
John Adams. Let's go back to the second president. We didn't.
Alien Sedition Act.
Well, the whole concept of what the president was, we really didn't. We were kind of doing it as we went there. Adams wanted to have kind of a monarchy.
He did.
And so, you know, and that would have been a very different country. Now, the only excuse you could give to that was it was early. But the rest of this stuff, you know.
I'm just saying we've had, you know, the Palmer raids, which under, again, a president who's been reevaluated, who on economics and I would say on foreign policy was terrific. He was personally a jerk, so that was a problem. But on race was awful. Was Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Was so bad that I don't think people used to overlook that. He helped reinstitute segregation in Washington and everything. And Palmer was his, attorney general. And there was the radicals, you know, these far leftists from Eastern Europe, you know, and maybe somebody, I think a bomb was set off on Wall Street, whatever. They used that to suspend rights and just go into people's apartments, grab them and deport them. I mean, I'm just saying we've had bad moments and we haven't even gotten to Native Americans yet, all right, or slavery for that matter. And so I just like to say I thought Bill Clinton said this well. I thought Obama has said this well. Biden's been saying that, which is it's always trying to reach that promise and improve.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, and even some of our heroes were far from perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always in sort of the maybe we'll one day reach the words that were in the Constitution. At least the fact that you even wrote those things down and said you aspired to them was a radical act at that point in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, you bring up when I was in Chicago, I was walking down as a Wacker and come down the statue they have of the site where Lincoln was nominated for president. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, you can look at Lincoln and with the whole Civil War, you can say, yes, that's good. But you also have to, and I'm glad we are doing this and evaluating the whole thing. His policies towards the Native Americans was atrocious, was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
And we had a war while the Civil War was going on. We had a war here in Minnesota, the Dakota War of 1863, which they had to send in federal troops for that. And it was just Lincoln. Basically, you got to look at the entire argument. And yeah,
you look at the entire argument, and I think you look at things within the context of their times.
Exactly.
I mean, like I get this, and people can judge me as they will. But am I going to run out of time? Because I don't want to run out of time.
No, this hour. I basically did.
I just don't want to run out of time in the middle of saying this, which is look, you know, not. I've said this before. Not religious at all. Whatever. My background is Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. Little Christian mixed in there, mostly Jewish. And, you know, there are people that have, you know, will just not, you know, will not give Winston Churchill any credit because he was an anti-Semite. He also was a racist. I mean, he had a lot of problems, let's say, problematic views in that period in time. But I sit there and I say, you know, I'd rather have somebody who maybe didn't like me because of who I am, but was fighting the guy that wanted to kill me because of who I am. And I try to take things within the context of their times. And if his views were very prevalent, which they were, mm-hmm. you know, if he thought maybe Jews were not the same as Christians or, you know, Protestants particularly or whatever it was, but that we shouldn't be killed in gas chambers, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't look at everything through the lens of today. And in 100 years, they'll be looking at us today like, what the hell is wrong with them, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I try to bring context into everything I look at.
There is rarely this idea we have, and I think this is a flaw to a point of America, that we have this idea there's a good side and the bad side. And the reality is there's a lot of times it's two bad sides. And exactly. Sometimes you have to say to yourself, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, and we can talk about it in context today. Sure. I'm not happy with how Joe Biden has been sitting on the sideline when Israel is doing what they're doing in the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
I can do this. But have you heard what the Republicans want to do? Line up every Palestinian and put a bullet in their head.
Right. Well, that's one of the guys, I can't remember, one of the members of Congress said we should nuke them.
Yeah, it was Tennessee, the guy from Tennessee, I think it was.
Which, I mean,
yeah.
There's so many things wrong with that statement. You know, I mean, again, the unseriousness of the Republican Party, just, you know, talking about massacring, you know, Gazan civilians in general is sickening. And any civilians.
And the millions that will happen after the fact if something like that.
But dropping a nuclear bomb, you know, not even of the variety that was dropped on Hiroshima, but of today and the power that would have, the mass destruction that – I mean – to be that stupid, do you think nobody in Israel who you're claiming that you support is going to get sick from radiation? That's right. Radiation doesn't cross. Just build a wall. It'll stop the radiation. I mean, again, like they're you know, but you – and then these you know, bordering Arab countries have nothing to do – I mean, you will murder millions upon millions. And that, again – like they're not serious about stuff. So I'm the same way. And look, I started this off, and I will say it, you know, that what Hamas did was unprovoked, was cruel, vicious,
horrible.
Was
horrible.
Medieval in its total brutality
100%.
And evil. And every one of those sons of bitches had been hunted down and taken out, I'd be all for it. And in the beginning, when Israel was responding, I believed it, and I still believe
100%
it. Israel
as well.
Had a right to defend themselves
absolutely.
And to go after these guys. The problem is when you have their Trump in control, when you have Bibi Netanyahu in control, and the culture comes down from that, and you do not care. In fact, it seems like he takes some delight in bombing civilians and hurting and killing them.
He does.
That is an entirely different thing than sometimes people, innocent people, die war and it is horrible, but you take the care and do everything necessary to hunt the actual members of Hamas. But when you're indiscriminately just blowing a place up, I mean, again, Netanyahu is Trump, is Putin, is Bolsonaro, you know, is, I mean, keep going, is Le Pen, is Orban, is they're the same. They are all evil, vicious, sadistic, you know, strong men types who have no conscience, who have no soul. And, you know, the fact that it's horrible that Netanyahu is in charge when this happened. Now, of course, part of the reason it happened is because he was in charge, because he was busy putting all of the troops up to protect all the people, the people that were illegally settling the West Bank, to protect his zealot nutbags on the far right of his party and leaving their southern flank open.
Yeah.
So he's actually responsible when people are like, oh, strongmen, well, at least they'll protect you. No, they won't.
Yeah.
They'll do stupid authoritarian things is what they'll do.
They'll take your goodwill and they'll abuse it.
Well, what they'll do is they'll put their own personal agenda, which for Donald Trump is money, and Netanyahu is racism. I mean, some of that for Trump too, of course, but is you know, racism and religious superiority as he sees it, and resettling the West Bank and all this crap. And that was more important than protecting his own people in the South.
Absolutely. And if I just really quick before we go on the break here, I'll just say this. When you're at the point where you're killing Palestinians, World Central Kitchen volunteers, your own hostages trying to get back to your front lines, you've lost focus.
Yes.
And that's just clearly as you've lost focus. They had a right to respond. What happened to them was wrong in October, but what's going on now is not right. And you can sit there and you say, you know what, Joe Biden, I'm not appreciating we're endorsing this. But we have to keep in perspective what the other side is saying. Because once again, it's never so cut and dry. It's never a right and wrong. This is too – neither one of these decisions is great by any means. But I'd rather have Joe Biden in charge than the guys who are saying, let's line up every Palestinian, including all the children, and put a bullet in their head. That is – this is not right. – it's really a discussion. I don't believe it is. So.
And I'd like to – well, if we can come back to this after the – Do we have to take a break?
We'll take a break right quick and come back to that. And then also I want to make sure I go through other things as well. Cliff Schechter in studio with us. And like I said, it's all freeform. We'll figure this out eventually.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show.
I'm going to go get a beer.
All right. Sure. Hey, I'm 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter in studio here. I'm going to let you finish up your thought process on what we were talking about before there.
Well, two important points I want to make. One is, first of all, and I don't think you meant, you know, I'm not trying to criticize you how you said this, but I think when you said Biden endorsing, I don't see Biden as endorsing this policy.
Okay.
You know, my background, actually, believe it or not, was in foreign policy. So much diplomacy goes behind the scenes. So much of it are things that you tell folks. Give them the green light to say, someone like Schumer saying Bibi Netanyahu needs to be gone. I promise you Schumer didn't say that without checking in with Biden first.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been trying. They've been threatening. Now, you can argue they haven't done enough. But I don't think anybody who's like, they're gung-ho and they're all, you know, they're for what Netanyahu's doing. They're absolutely not. And they've been doing
– You're right. And you're right. And I'm glad you called me out on that. You're absolutely right.
You know, it's not about calling you out. I just think people need to get the most accurate thing, which is they've been threatening Netanyahu behind the scenes. They've been talking about taking away funding. They've been doing all this stuff. Some of this I know because I know some people because I've done some of this work and whatever and other stuff. Like, I know how these things go. And you can say they should just stop giving all arms to Israel. And you know what? And at this point, I would have said months ago, no. But at this point, I think that's a legitimate argument to make. So you can argue, but I just don't think it's fair to say that he's endorsing what's going on. He's very much against it and wants it to stop and has said that from the beginning. And Netanyahu is a lunatic. It's like trying to control Trump. It's the same thing. Second thing I was going to say is, look, we're supposed to be an advanced citizenry. We're supposed to be post-enlightenment. We actually have the ability to self-govern. And if we don't, fine. Let's just give it up and give in to an authoritarian. Mm-hmm. But if we do, then you know what? I could name a couple things Joe Biden's done that I don't like. Okay?
Yeah.
The difference is that part of being an adult is I'm not marrying Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. All right? If I were courting Joe Biden – bring him some nice flowers. He does like ice cream. I know. I don't get to. But if that's what you're talking about, okay. Or somebody who's a close friend, what you're doing here is you're voting for the. You've got two options. I wish we had more in England. The United Kingdom they often have three. They've got a third party that's major. Some countries have 5-6. I think it would be a healthier democracy if we had 5 or 6. Okay, but we have two. You've got those two options, and in a democracy, as part of an advanced citizenry, you need to decide and think about your children, think about your aging parents, think about yourself and challenges in your life. Who would you rather have be in control? And compare them, mm-hmm. because that's all that matters. You can compare them to what you see as perfection, which is sorry, is stupid, and it's not an adult thing to do. All right. Because as I said before, you look at Churchill and you can find stuff. Every great president, everyone from Lincoln to Teddy Roosevelt, we will find plenty wrong with.
Oh, yeah.
So with Joe Biden, you can look at an amazing economic record, an amazing legislative record. Overall has been what this country has needed. And Donald Trump is a legitimate and very serious threat to our democracy. So decide. But again, you don't have to love Biden. Hell, I voted for Democrats I didn't even like before. But I liked their positions and I didn't like the Republicans. That's what being an adult in an advanced democracy is about.
It's my comparison I've said many a times, which I think Joe Biden is a delicious hamburger with good sides. I really do. You know, I can tell you a great burger, some good sides. At the very worst, if you are a voter, the worst thing you could compare him to at worst is an Arby's beef and cheddar. It's not the meal you want. But it will. It's actually technically food. So fine.
I'm not sure you're right about that part. Well, okay, I'll give it.
It is.
It
they sell it.
It fills you up.
It fills you. Okay. It's just sustenance, and that's the case. Donald Trump is an actual crap sandwich. He's feces between two pieces of bread.
Yes.
And there's a difference between an Arby's beef and cheddar and an actual crap sandwich. And they need to convince you those are the same, and you need to take a big bite of the crap sandwich. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And that is, you know, boils it down in a really bizarre way, but that's
no, it. I'll say quickly, one's the hamburger, the other one's amoebic dysentery. Make your choice.
amoebic dysentery.
If you know what that does to you, if you don't look it up, and if you know what that does to you, you wouldn't support it.
I like my toilet. No. You don't want that. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back, get into some other things. I guarantee we're going to talk some twins here in a little bit as well. Cliff Schechter in studio. With us for the entire hour, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Dinah Debbie, chiming in here. If I or you don't walk out on stage wearing Marcus Bachmann hot pants like David Minneapolis that one time, I'll be horribly disappointed. No, I don't really have any hot pants. They're all at the dry cleaners right now. Did you pack anything?
I mean, I have a whole drawer of them at home. Oh, well. I didn't bring them.
You know, the weather's so unpredictable in Minnesota. You got to dress. You got to be more practical with the trip.
I know. I got to think more about that next time I come here.
I'm just going to say this because I might have a clothing thing when I walk on the stage. I'll talk to you after we're talking.
Oh, my gosh. I have to go buy something and get creative.
No, I'll share that with you. It's a secret until we get to that. It's not a secret, though, a few things. First of all, if you're listening to this, and this is just a great show because I love just chatting with Cliff. If you want more of this, if you want more insight, more not pulling your punches, more talking about how honest it is, you need to subscribe to his YouTube channel and join 40,000 other people who are already subscribed. It's the Blue Amp channel. It's / Cliff Schechter on YouTube.
C Schechter
at YouTube. And I'll link to all this eventually tonight. I'll get it all linked down. And
you'll
all have that. If you're not, it really is you're missing out. And it's just absolutely fantastic. And like I said, it's resonating. And it's not just the Lindsey Graham stuff.
I was just saying, look, do you not want to see videos insulting Lindsey Graham? We're just joking, folks, because I do thankfully have a bunch of videos that have done pretty well, and it's a bunch of hit six figures. But my two videos with the most views ended up being the ones where it's because what I do is, and now that you said fecal before, I know I can say that, I talk about my theory that Lindsey Graham is actually in reality a clownfish. And so at one point, McCain was his sea anemone. And as you know, they live off their fecal matter. That's how they get their nutrition, right? Is by living off of them, symbiotic relationship and all. But once he lost his sea anemone, Donald Trump became his sea anemone. As we know, with all the fast food he eats, there's a lot of product there. So Lindsey Graham moved on over and started that and now became Donald Trump's clownfish to go and help clean him up. And there you go. That's my theory that we talk about that and more in this video. Some people like it.
You know, I've gone to South Carolina. I got family that lives down in Beaufort down there. Town. Lovely, right on the coast.
Yeah, I've been there. Beautiful.
I saw a sign. One time, I was down there, and Lindsay was running, And it said Lindsey Graham, and I swear to God, I thought this was a, you know, they try to portray him, you know, kind of, you know, in a certain light. And they, it was a picture of Lindsey Graham, and it said, Lindsey Graham, a man's man. And I was like, okay, did they actually put that out?
Is that serious?
And it was that weird smile, kind of like, are you going through a medical treatment look that he's got?
He always has that creepy smile. Yeah. And if you catch him at the wrong moment, I'm not going to do it because it's so repulsive. He does that thing where he licks his mouth. Folks, if you've just eaten, it's like the rule about swimming and going on roller coasters. Don't watch Lindsey Graham lick his lips after you've eaten because you'll pay the price.
We might be actually editing this in a video tab for another Lindsey Graham moment.
At this point, I may just do all Lindsey Graham videos. They're doing so well for me.
We also need to mention, as Dinah Debbie brought up, thank you very much, Deb, the Sexy Liberal Show is in Minneapolis, St. Paul tomorrow. You can still get tickets. There are a few left. I don't think the bottom level very much at all.
No, it's mostly
gone. At the upper level, there's a few loge seats left too, which are the really good ones up on the upper level. You can get those seats. Join Cliff, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Frangela, and of course Stephanie Miller in town for Sexy Liberal tomorrow at the Pantages Theater. We, by the way, are going to be at On the Rocks on 13th and Nicollet, the Nicollet Diner. We'll be at that place at about 4:30 with a pregame tailgate event.
Oh, God.
For this. Yeah, it's – yeah.
I mean, I want to do that, but if I go out on stage hammered, I don't know that they'll invite me back again.
you stay with – I don't drink.
Okay, that helps.
You stay with me. I'll take you up Nicollet Mall. I'll get you back to the Pantages.
A beer is good. I like a beer before I do something. Not many.
So join us, and you're gonna. It's gonna be a lot of fun here. Okay, so let's not get into that. Not a lot of fun. And I will put out if I may, a signal.
Sure.
To if Robert Pilot is listening. Robert Pilot is on the show after us. Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. Is a fantastic show that's on in the 5 o'clock hour after my show. Uh-huh. Native American issues, talking about issues you don't hear anywhere else. It is fantastic. It's a privilege to be the lead in for that
show. We need more like that.
It should be a national show. It should be. It's so good.
People just need. I mean, you need to be educated, but you should want to learn. It's our country. It's our history. You should want to know it.
Absolutely. And Robert is a huge Twins fan. So, Robert, if you do want to call into the station, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, you're more than welcome.
If you want to insult the Yankees or the Reds, this is your chance.
Oh, Robert, you can't. No, I want Cliff to come back at some point. So let's pull the punches a little bit on the Yankees.
Well, and now you can rip them. When it comes to the Reds, I mean, you know, we gave you Joey Gallo. I mean, how can you not love us?
Oh, that's right. Okay, so
we also gave you Sonny Gray, which worked out.
I'll take that one. So the thing about the Twins, and this is okay, they come into the season, they open on the road in Kansas City. Royce Lewis goes on out, gets that home run. He looks like a freaking baseball card come to life. He looks like a
How old is he?
How old, Patrick? You know off the top of your head?
Don't know. 24? It's got to be like, you know, 24, 25.
He's still, I mean, relatively young. It reminds me of what's happened with the Yankees and Anthony Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that, you know, had something, you know, I'll knock on all the wood in the world, had something happened with him, I mean, the same thing would have happened. When you've got like your new, young, incredible player and that happens, that's –
Yeah,
that sucks. It's not fair.
It isn't, and you know they've got Miranda, Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin, I think it is.
That's right. I remember that.
He just got called up from St. Paul. He's now playing here.
When they give out the talent, you know, whatever deity you believe in, some seem to get more than others. Some families. Let's just put it that way.
I like paste. Anyway, no. Yeah. So they try to replace him, but when he came on the second at bat, he gets a single, round second, comes up lame. He's gone. He's gone probably till the All-Star break. I mean,
I hope he's at least back for the second half. I mean,
I hope he is too, because since that happened, just the wind came out of that franchise. And it's just not been there. And And granted, it's early, and we've had a ton of rain games already, so we've already got a doubleheader tomorrow. We're going to have a doubleheader with the Guardians coming up here sometime in August, I think it is. But we, you know, it's you get this situation where the pitching was supposed to be our problem. The pitching, we lost, you know, we lost a guy at St. Louis, and you know, we just didn't really go out in the market and get anything really substantial. But the pitching has been good. We're like that freaking Arizona Diamondbacks teams of the years where they would have, you know, they'd lose games 1-0 all the time. And then just no one wants to hit. I mean, we would have been swept by the Dodgers here if not for Julian getting two home runs. And I just sort of like, you can't be on that much of a knife edge. You just can't be where you need someone to get a one home run or else that's it.
No, when you get to that point where you're just relying on the big hit or you're relying on something to bail you out. I mean, and think of the pressure that puts on pitchers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right? God. I mean, I'm sorry. Even if they're pitching really well right now, they break at some point. Because you can't be perfect. You know, we did that. The Yankees did that. Was it 2 years ago where our offense, remember? Josh Donaldson, a name you know
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yes, we do.
You know, and I mean, where our offense, we're like in the stadium that was built for Babe Ruth, a lefty that all lefties have thrived in. They're like, hey, why don't we have a lineup of 9 righties, all of whom can't run. And and we were terrible, and we had that same thing, which is like, if I were Garrett Cole, I would have lost my mind. Like, you know, he and a few of these pitchers are throwing like 2 ERAs, and they can't get a win.
No,
I mean, that's frustrating. And I you know, I honestly, I don't think there should be a I don't think that there should be the – what's the one I'm looking for? The tax the way they have it.
No.
What I think they should actually do – if they're redistributing some of the funds, is they should redistribute them to smaller markets. Because
they should,
I don't
yes.
give a damn who the owner – because that's where my theory comes into play. Because there are some owners who are cheap and won't spend even
Oakland.
When they're in bigger or decent-sized markets. Well, screw them. They should have to sell the team. To me, based on the market you're in, because you're just never going to be able to get certain national cable and other – all these sorts of deals. You're not going to sell as much merch. I mean, you know, you can go to – Europe and walk around, there's people with Dodgers and Yankees and, you know, what I mean. So to me, that's how it should be done, is that markets like Cincinnati and like many, you know, in Minneapolis and others, they're the ones that should get some of the extra revenue so they can spend on players. That's how I would do it.
Your whole thoughts on the tax system is completely right, because if they had a better system, Oakland would not be leaving to go to Vegas.
Correct.
And they wouldn't be basically turned on their own community, which is just garbage what they're doing to them.
I mean, this thing with Sacramento is just, ugh.
Here you go. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
The number one team with batting average is Atlanta. They're at 303 as a team batting average. Dear Lord, that's nuts.
Insane.
That's insane so far. And it's, early in the season. Dodgers are at 277. Your beloved Yankees are at 242. Not bad. Respectable.
Yeah, we'll take it.
You know, Cincinnati's just a little bit better. 243 right next to them, 14 and 15. The Twins, 184. Oh, God, we're below the Mendoza line.
You can't
as
do that.
As a team.
I mean, again, I don't want to talk – I know we're in the Minneapolis market here, so I don't want to talk too much about the Yankees, because I suspect you either don't care or hate them.
There's a lot of Yankees fans when they come to town at Target Field, so you're going to appeal to some for sure.
But I feel like the injection of I would say, of Volpe, this young guy starting off – I mean, there was a point a day or two ago he was leading the league at 425 or something, stealing bases. He's making gold glove plays, and then Juan Soto. I went and saw the Yankees home opener, which they lost, by the way, because that's how I am percentage-wise. They played 13 games and won 10 of them, and I was at one of the ones they lost. And there was an earthquake.
That's right.
I didn't feel it because I was on the New York City subway, which, as you know, shakes enough that it could be an earthquake.
Yeah, that's right.
But even in that game where they did not score, you watch Juan Soto. You know, they say there's certain players that just bring something else. The confidence. He's having fun with the crowd. He's playing with the crowd. He's like, you know, he's joking. He's dancing.
Some guys get New York, and he gets New York.
The little, as they call it, Soto shuffle he does after the – I mean, it's impossible not to love him. It doesn't even matter. He could strike out 4 times in a row that day. You'd love him. because the looks on his face, like even the looks he gives umpires, because this is the guy who's, I think, 2 years in a row led the league in on base percentage at like 450, 4 something
like that, yeah.
Crazy, because he knows the strike zone so well. So when they call something a strike that's a ball, even by that much, he just gives them this look and then he almost smiles. It's almost a condescending, like, I know better than you. And you just. So I think for the Yankees, if you wanted to analyze why, what the energy factor is, because Gerrit Cole was injured, that could have taken our sails, the wind out of our sails. And Aaron Judge right now is batting 170. He's having a horrible season right now, and he could get better. But those are the two guys you generally are like, are going to do it, and they're not, and yet we have these other people doing it. It's weird.
I think that the Twins need to realize you can't compete by committee. And, you know, it's just, you can't just bank on a AAA player coming up and filling a void. It's clear we can't do that.
No.
And, you know, you do have the pitching, and it is early. You're not out of anything at this point. But I can tell you right now, you got four games at Detroit. If you go 1-3 there, it's going to, you got to start, start looking at that schedule and you're saying to yourself, where am I going to start making these games if you only have so many with, sorry, the White Sox. You only have so many with the Chicago White Sox. And so you need
to. You're like looking at the schedule like, yeah, there's another couple with the White Sox.
By the way, you knew the earthquake was happening in New York when you were on the subway, when the subway was actually smooth and riding.
I was going to say, it's like two, when you multiply two negatives and you get a positive.
Wow.
So it was like, wow.
We're moving so, oh my God, it's an
like,
earthquake.
It's like the TGV in France, right? You know, like, it's like this is it's like a high speed rail. It's so nice.
It's the Epcot line.
I know.
That's what it is.
I still find it's hilarious. I take my younger kid, the one who's the baseball fan in New York, and we find out there's an earthquake because we get to the stadium and we're waiting in line and my wife texts us. She's like, "Did you feel that?" We're like, "What?" And she tells us there's an earthquake. And I swear to you, 30 minutes after that, so she tells us about 15 minutes after it. 30 minutes later, everyone starts getting the beeps, your alarms on your phone. The warnings are like, you got maybe think about staying inside. We're like, they're not canceling the game. They clearly are not worried about it. But you're also like, you're 45 minutes late. I mean, if this were a real, this instead of a 4.8, had this been like a 6.8? You know, like, guess what? You coming to me 45 minutes later and telling me about it ain't going to help.
They would still play the Yankees game, though, too, because
they would. We don't care. They would be like big piece, chunks of like concrete in the field, and they'd be dodging them. And yeah.
Let's take a break. Final break. Come on back. Cliff Schechter with us for the full hour. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Friday. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter joining us once again. I need to hit the high points here. The YouTube page, /C Schechter. It's the Blue AM channel on YouTube. Go subscribe there. Go get tickets to go see the Sexy Liberal Show at the Pantages Theater. Of course, Cliff is going to be there with the usual crew. Stephanie, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Frangela, all going to be there as well.
Matt is introducing the whole thing, so come on.
It's going to really get better after the first minute.
I think it's going to be damn wonderful that first minute. Except for the rotten tomatoes I'll be throwing at you when you walk out.
Hey, just, produce. I love produce. It's fiber.
Is good, yeah.
Our good friend Bill Corbett, who's been on the show many times, talking from Riff Tracks.
And, yes,
love him. Are we going to get a chance to see him while you're in town here? Hopefully,
that's what I'm hoping. Yeah, I think we'll get a chance. I still remember when I discovered that Mystery Science Theater 3000. I love that show, all that stuff. And then there was this guy who online was complimenting me and saying all these really nice things about seeing me on TV and other people should argue the way I do and because I would take delight in mocking Republicans and this is and finally I'm like, it had a fake name, like, you need to tell me who you are. Whatever. He's like, send me something of this email, and I did, and it was like, it's Bill Corbett.
It's a brain guy from MS3.
Like, of course. Yeah. Of course.
My funny story is Trace Blue, Dr. Clayton Forrester from the show. Trace, I was working at an MGM liquor warehouse when I was going through college at broadcasting school. And one day, a guy says, I need you to take out this you know, order to this guy's car. So I go back there and I take it on out. And he opens up and there is a Mystery Science Theater 3000 jumpsuit in the back of the car. I said, that is the coolest thing ever. Where'd you get that? And he goes, we wear them on the set. And I looked at him. And, of course, he wasn't Clayton Forrester. He was Trace. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was just as a my 20-year-old moment. Oh, it was fantastic. And that just – he was the nicest guy, just absolutely a dream. And I'm still good friends with Trace right now. I say good friends. I mean, I know him. He's just brilliant. He still does stuff with Frank Conniff. The Mads. The Mads are back. They still do that stuff. And they're fantastic. That is one of the best parts about this city. I mean, we've got such a great music culture. I mean, Dylan Prince. And Prince, the Replacements. You know, we can go run the whole Lizzo. We can run the whole gamut that's been here. We have this show was such an important piece of American icon, and those guys were just here in town, and it was just they're so down to earth, and they are the nicest people I've ever met.
Bill is, I mean, again, Bill's the only one I know, and he's the nicest. Like, there's a guy I'm friends with in Cincinnati who's just a terrific guy, lawyer. Actually, was one of the young guys on the Clinton defense team initially.
Really?
Yeah, and then decided didn't want to do that kind of thing. He was a law professor in Cincinnati, and I just got to know him and other folks. He's a huge fan, and I think I asked Bill sheepishly once, and he immediately sent like the nicest note to share with him and whatever. And Bill's just a great guy.
You still have the greatest connection of all time, man. Hands down. I can't beat it. No one will beat it.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. Now you're making me feel. We got an invite to go to Blood-Old England. We got to go there for the filming of The Last Jedi because Mark Hamill saw some stuff that I did on TV, I think, well, like Bill did, and actually liked the fact that I was let's call it, nasty and mocking to Republicans. And so – I got to know him because I couldn't believe that he was following like 80 people on Twitter and I was one of them. Uh-huh. So I had to ask why. Why do you like what is this a mistake? And he was the nicest person, said the nicest things about me, and then invited me to bring my family. Do we have time? Oh, we're done.
We're kind of done, man.
Oh, I had a story to tell that would be cool, but we did go over. We did get to go around the studio during the filming, you know, The Last Jedi. It was cool.
All righty. Cliff Schechter, Blue Am channel on YouTube. I'll link to that later. Sexy Liberal. If you don't have tickets, go get tickets. Live Nation. We got a link at am950radio.com. Cliff, my friend, thank you very much. I appreciate this.
All right. So same time next week.
We can only hope. Native Roots Radio is up next. Have a good one. We're back on Monday. Till then, see ya.